Hey, it's Mae Whitman, and I play Frankie in the new Realm podcast, The Sisters. The Sisters is about a museum curator of medical oddities who investigates the origins of a mutated skeleton with two layers of bones. Soon, she uncovers an extraordinary mystery that connects her present with one family's tragic past in hauntingly dangerous ways. Listen to The Sisters wherever you get your podcasts.
You were dead.
How do I know I can trust you?
Spike, are you going to make me say it?
Say what? With you, it might be the history of the platypus robbing Oscar Wilde's grave, or a stream of consciousness treatise on nursery rhymes.
Oh, but you love me for it.
Eyeballs to entrails.
Oh, you're my favorite freak show, Spike.
Oh, true. I shouldn't.
I could hurt you in the good way right now.
Drew, it feels like we're from two different worlds. I was dead for a long time. We need to learn each other all over again.
Your Drew hasn't forgotten any of the things you like.
Welcome to Buffering the Vampire Slayer, a podcast where we once were watching every episode of Buffy, spoiler free, and then talking about it. But now we're listening to every episode of Slayers, a Buffyverse story, one by one, spoiler free. I am the prodigal punk prince of darkness, Jenny Owen Young.
And I am the king consort, Kristen Russo. Here we are today. Rounding the final bend here, where this is episode 7 of Slayers. There's only 9, so we've only got 2 after this. We're in the final stretch.
We're coming up on the end. Things are heating up. I'm having a blast.
Mm-hmm.
What a time to be alive, Kristen. Sorry, we're still in the intro. Go on.
Hey, this is the, okay, Jenny, I always do the This Is The Episode Where. Do you have any hot takes on what this episode is about?
Oh, well, what I probably should first say, because there were some chickens outside of my window that
sure.
really distracted me.
Uh-huh, great.
And I'm so sorry. But first I should tell everyone that this episode was written and directed by Amber Benson and Christopher Golden, co-directed and produced by Casey Wayland, and it originally aired in a full season binge drop on October 12th, 2023. This is the one where it is absolutely none of Indira's business. Leave this girl alone, you perverts. Let Indira live.
Please. Indira and Jenny Owen Young saying the same thing.
Two people who have absolutely no time for what you should be doing behind closed doors.
I also just felt really special when you read this episode was written and directed by and co-directed and produced by, because we got the chance to talk to Amber Benson and Chris Golden just a couple days ago. And so within the next handful of weeks, you'll get to hear our conversation with them. And since we talked to Casey Wayland, that means we've talked to all three of the people at the top of this episode.
The Holy Trinity.
The Holy Trinity, indeed. All right. So I would agree with that. This is the one where it's none of Indira's business. This is the one where Indira and Cordy start to raise an eyebrow at some of Spike's antics. This is the one where, oh, Althania, rest in peace. And also, notably, this is the one where Anya, Anyanka, and Jasper merge into a many limbed, blob-like thing.
You know that thing people say about, like, your imagination? Like, when you can't see something terrible, you're guaranteed to imagine something
the worst.
Much worse than what might actually be rendered. Mm. I hate what I see in my mind when I think about this merging. I think there's a lot more viscera, in my mind than would probably be on the screen.
I was going to say, like, there's sort of like a Slimer-esque vision I have. Like, there's not like a solid form. It's like more gelatinous, which doesn't make any sense because Anyanka, Anya, and Jasper are all solid beings, but...
Is there a thing in Nightmare on Elm Street where, like, Freddy, like, pulls up his shirt and there's just, like, a bunch of faces in his skin? That, I feel like, is a big inspo for what's going on in my brain.
Yeah, those are all the souls he's taken. They live inside of his chest as tiny little heads. Also, in one of the Freddies, he's eating a pizza, a sausage pizza, and he, like, takes his little nail and plucks one of the... as a pizza meatball.
Nope. No, thank you.
Anyway, since we're talking about the trio, the other Holy Trinity, Anya, Anyanka, and Jasper, I just wanted to throw out that I thought maybe, I can't barely read my own handwriting, but Anya Spurka was one of two names, Anya Spurka, for this trio, or, and I think I like this one more, Janjaska.
Ooh, Janjaska is really nice.
That's right.
I celebrate that.
Yeah, it feels good. Okay.
Really rolls right off the tongue.
Janjaska. Okay, so general thoughts on this episode?
Just having a blast. I love how things are feeling. I love where things are going. It's just good.
The critic, Jenny Owen Youngs. Having a blast.
Well, I feel like I've been, like, you know, picking my nits here and there as we've been talking about this and that. But I feel like as, like, we've been, you know, acclimating to this show's atmosphere, and, like, as questions have been kind of, like, gradually answered as we've rolled forward, like, you know.
Yeah.
I'm not feeling like I have a very critical brain today. I'm just having a blast with my old pals around the cemetery.
You're not paid to have a critical brain, Jenny. You're paid to have a blast. So, you know what?
Really is my function in this duo.
This is where things started to feel way more gelled and way more, paced in a way where I was very excited about the next scene and the next scene and the next scene and the next scene in a way that felt very different from some of the middle episodes. I've talked a lot about my first experience through and how, like, I couldn't remember if it was like 7, 8, and 9, but I knew that I had listened to 8 and 9 back to back and that I was just like ravenous in a way that, like, hadn't quite hit me in the middle bunch. And in listening to 7 again, I have more confidence in Kristen of the past because I felt that way. I felt like we were picking up speed. I knew a lot already about the plot line. So, like, the script wasn't tasked with telling me as much about what was happening. Things were just rolling along, you know? And so I really like this episode. I really like the Spike. I mean, you know, it's also the first episode, I think, where we get, like, Spike and Drew doing their Spike and Drew stuff. And also there's something about Indira in this, like, I've loved Indira from the jump, but there's something about Indira in this universe, like, playing the part of a witch, like, both poorly and perfectly at the same time.
Yeah.
That I'm just really, really feeling.
That is really great. I think it's it's hard to pick an all-star of an episode or a series when so many of our faves are here turning it in, absolutely. But Leia really shines. And I've been thinking a lot since we talked to Amber and Chris about how they talked about how they, you know, they wanted to bring in a younger character into the universe who could function as kind of like the audience insert for people who are not familiar with the Buffyverse, right? And I think it is really cool that you have sort of like these dual guides as you listen. You have Spike, especially for the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
We love him, and he's doing his monologues, and we love to listen to him talk, and it's great. And then we've got Indira, who is just such a delight, and simultaneously, I think, does function as that audience insert for people who may not know much about this world, but also as kind of the fresh blood that, like, Casey, Chris, and Amber all talked about how bringing in Leia really kind of, like, charged all of these amazing performers who have existing chemistry and long working relationship history. It really just, like, got everybody sitting up a little straighter and, like, really bringing their A game, because she crushes so hard. And they're like, oh, well, we've got this new person in the room who's, like, bringing a new element. And I really like that. I really like the Spike Indira sort of, like, dual stewards carrying us along on this adventure, and each doing their part in different ways.
Yeah. Same. All right. Well, shall we?
Okay. He's out of his sarcophagus, but Spike still finds a way to previously us.
Just monologuing about his many deaths to Drusilla.
Monologuing about his many deaths, and also the stage direction in the script. Spike, parentheses, lying his ass off. Death was a bit boring. et cetera. I love it.
Yeah, Drusilla cannot stop talking about how good Tara is in the sack. Like, it's just her favorite topic of conversation.
Kristen.
Yeah, do you have any thoughts on the wood nymph? I really want to try to figure out. Drew says, do you remember, she's talking to Spike about Tara, do you remember the night we spent with the wood nymph in, I don't remember how to pronounce this location. It's something like that, but without the splinters. So what now?
Okay, Kristen.
Okay.
Fuck, marry, kill.
Aww.
Drew's Drew's on. Other sexual partners besides Spike and Tara. Wood nymph, chaos demon, famously all slime and antlers, and that guy she banged and then threw off the top of the Eiffel Tower.
Definitely that guy. Oh, I forgot it. I didn't get to just pick one. Okay. I want to fuck the guy who gets thrown off the Eiffel Tower, but the problem is that then he's gone because he's been thrown off the Eiffel Tower, so I have no one. It's not like I can continue fucking that guy. If I could keep fucking that guy and he just kept getting...
Interesting. I've always just seen it as you fuck one time, you marry forever.
You so then are you also one time. I mean, I don't know why in my mind it had to be like you never fuck the person you marry, but it just felt like
No.
Fuck was a separate category that, like, you could only fuck that person and then only marry this person.
It's just fucking, but marriage encompasses a whole umbrella of whatever you want, you know, that you decide on together, including sex, cuddling, co-parenting, building wealth together.
Okay.
Adopting a dog.
Well,
okay.
I mean, honestly, I guess I'll kill the chaos demon because I think that I would marry the wood nymph and just sort out the splinters situation. You know what I mean?
Like
we'd have time. We're married. Yeah. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And then I would fuck the guy on the Eiffel Tower. But honestly, I would fuck the guy on the Eiffel Tower first, because maybe since I'm going to throw him off the Eiffel Tower, I won't have to kill the chaos demon and he can just go live his life.
Nobody said that you had to kill the guy after you have sex with him. He was just in the running as one of Drew's previous sexual
partners. I thought it was part of the
but
sex
But I like
act.
That you're like, I guess I have to.
I thought like the
this
sex
is who I am
was...
now.
Like, not sex on top of the Eiffel Tower. It was sex on the top of the Eiffel Tower, and then you throw him off the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
Do you have an answer?
Kristen, how many hours out of 24 hours?
Why?
How many hours a day? How many hours a day do you estimate you spend thinking about the fleshly delights?
For the listener at home, my face looks like I just took a spoonful of Vegemite.
Malort.
Malort. Yeah, honestly, Malort. Yeah. Sorry, Australians.
Okay, so Kristen does not think about the fleshly delights a lot.
Stop saying it.
Okay. Were you surprised to hear that Spike's not really into sharing?
It's
really hard to say whether that's surprising or not.
I mean, I think the thing is that Spike is bi for Boreanaz.
He's got a booty stare and hot spiky hair. If you're straight or gay, your tingly feelings don't care. You're just being honest about this sexy demonic in your bi for Boreanaz. Bi for Boreanaz.
And so maybe he's not into threesomes. I think, you know what it is with Spike? I think he's into threesomes if Angel is one of the people, no matter what. Even if he's in love with the other person, if Angel is the third, Spike is fucking in. Literally. Actually, probably not. But whatever.
Boy. Okay.
So, but then I think outside of that, Spike is probably into multiple partners at once if he doesn't have any feelings for them. But I think that when it comes to Drew or Buffy or his big loves, that he doesn't want to share them because he's too jealous.
Yeah, okay.
So I did, but I did chew on all of that as I listened to this opening scene.
What about the Buffy bot? Do you think that he feels an emotional attachment to the Buffy bot as an extension of Buffy?
I mean, I feel an emotional attachment to the Buffy bot.
I know, me too. So I love her.
Probably he does.
All right, yeah, but also probably none of our business.
Minion Y, you don't know, if you're just listening, you don't know that the minions all have names and most of them are just letters. But this is Minion Y, who rolls up and is like, hey, Drew, I just thought, Minion Y literally saying the thing that anyone should be saying. Maybe this is a trick. Does anyone want to check out the details? And this costs Minion Y first his tongue, which Spike rips out of his head, and then Spike dusts him. I wish there was some way for Spike to dust him with his tongue, like rip out the tongue and then use it as the steak, but he didn't have a wooden tongue.
Spike takes this opportunity while he's getting all puffed up about nobody questioning him to announce that he is His Majesty King Consort. which is what you call the partner of a sitting queen. Spike and Daemon Targaryen both just absolutely living to be royal bottoms.
Royal bottoms!
Tune in this spring to TBS for Royal Bottoms.
I am quiet laughing. I was silent laughing for royal bottoms. Wow.
Are we good? Is podcasting good?
No,
are we fun? Do you like us?
Here's what I think, Jenny. I think we were okay in the beginning. And then I think we got really good. And then I think we've just been declining since.
Would you say we've been declining since we got divorced or since we recovered from getting divorced?
Recovered. I think since we recovered.
Yeah, we've become too comfortable once again.
Yeah. I think the sweet spot was when everything was kind
when
of
we
fucked
were
up.
Super uncomfortable.
Anyway, also, okay, so I looked up consort because I just wanted to make sure I knew what it meant. And consort has two meanings. It's like consort, but also consort, like to consort with the enemy. You know,
and so with the friend or the enemy of my enemy, who is famously my friend, yeah. Or two pennies or one pair of footsteps.
Remember that one time when you said the gun of my gun is my gun?
It's still true.
Okay. Spike, fucking classic shit here. Tara may have kept your bed warm. Okay, sir. We don't need any of that. We only like to hear
but
about...
But now the big bad is back. Big bad indeed.
Oh my
Indira's like...
Yeah, Indira's like, fucking you guys. I haven't talked about being a child until now. I will use this to shut you up. Stop being disgusting. All right. So Indira says she's going to perfect the sunlight spell. That's her job. She has to get this done so that Drusilla... kicks Tara both out of bed and out of her lair and brings Indira in as the queen of black magic.
Mm-hmm.
To the dungeon.
Down in the dungeon, Cordelia is like, ew.
Is that, that
she was, it's gross down there.
That's it. That's it. Just ew. Okay. I paused.
Yeah,
for
I
more.
Love it. I love it.
Yeah, she does not like it down there.
She also gets a quick tour of the many entities currently housed in the body of Tara McClay.
Yeah, so this
good
is...
Good Tara, bad Tara, Kurgan Tara.
I think this is the first... I don't know if it is, but it struck me as the first time that Amber has delivered a line where all three of... her, all three things that she speaks as happen without a break. Like, it's like good Tara, then bad Tara, and then Kurgan Tara. And Kurgan Tara, listen, which I think is just Kurgan, but Kurgan is really growing on me. Like, I don't know why, but I just feel an attachment to Kurgan. His motives are clear. He just needs to finish the job. Like, he's not messing around, you know? He also is like, he doesn't care about the monkey. He doesn't care. He just needs to get
he
his.
He doesn't care about the monkey as a qualifier for you to like someone. Oh, jeez.
I wanted to say in this segment that there's Anya and Anyanka and Pup Yanka and all of that. But the Tara Kurgan, good Tara, bad Tara, Kurgan Tara, we had a listener write in about plurality. And in parentheticals in this email, they said, this is a category of neurodivergence that can sometimes be diagnosed as dissociative identity disorder, which used to be known as multiple personality disorder, and went on to say, like, this is a complicated thing in so many fields of discussion. But the thing I did want to bring to the table is that I've spoken with this listener, and I would really like to, if there are folks out there that have other resources about possession storylines, or, I mean, I guess this is a possession storyline, right? Because it's like Kurgan is possessing the body of Tara, and somehow it's a little, I think it has a couple of branches, honestly, but it's like Kurgan is definitely possessing Tara. We're not quite sure what the math on like bad Tara is, if it's like because Kurgan is in there and so there's two Taras or whatever. But as you can hear as I'm talking, right, there is a way to read the character of Tara as someone who has alters. And that's a real thing. That's a real thing that people experience. That's not what this story is about. But I did think it was really important and interesting to have this conversation with our listener about viewing the story through that lens. And I wondered if there was more to be read about these kinds of narratives and what they do to conversations around this category of neurodivergence. So this is my little, now it's in all of your ears. And if you have more things for us to read about this or just ways for us to kind of digest this through that lens, that's something of interest. So hello@bufferingcast.com. Send in your thoughts. I also do love that Bad, I don't know why all of a sudden I'm calling her Bad Tara. I don't think I've ever done that before. But I like that Bad Tara describes having Kurgan as another organ. I don't know why, I just found it so delightful. Like, she says, like, I have a heart, a lungs, and a Kurgan. Like, that's how she integrates with Kurgan. But basically, Cordy is there because the deal she made with Bang was for Bang to get Tara at her most depleted so that Cordy could scoop her up and bring her to Anya and they could hopefully help her.
We get this bit. You know when you really want to push your friends away? You know when you're like, Old Yeller, you have to... Nymeria, go into the wilderness.
No!
I know, it sucks. It sucks, but that's what Tara is doing, but I guess not from a nice place. She's like, yo, it sucks to be your friend or your sister. Getting close to you gets you killed. Everyone you ever cared for is dead.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah, but like what's interesting, what I found interesting about that is that like we have good Tara saying, kill me, Cordelia, like kill me. That's the only way that you can make this stop is you just like good Tara is just like ready to sacrifice her life if it means that like Kurgan won't get to his highest power and do all these bad things, right? You'd think that
she's like, this would be a fine reason to kill me. A random stray bullet from the worst villain on the show ever.
Cordelia's bad. Cordelia's like, actually, Tara, I can't kill you. It would be really bad.
The fandom would not accept that.
Oh, my God. Give me that scene. But I just thought it was interesting because I wrote in my notes, like, it seems like bad Tara is also trying to get herself killed. But, like, I don't understand why bad Tara would be doing that. But, yes, to your point, bad Tara is just like, you're the worst person in the world. You couldn't keep your sister alive, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then Kurgan, and this is why I like the guy, is basically like, everyone shut the fuck up.
Okay, so I love the spell.
Me too.
I love the little echo loop. This is the way that it's executed in the audio is just like so cool. I think it is very effective. I love that like Cordelia is just kind of like frozen in this like one sentence, basically. Just like, I also love that we find out later that if you like jostle her, you can like jostle her out of it.
I was gonna say, I absolutely loved that just shaking her would like make the record get back on track.
Yeah.
I love this too. I was pretty sure that the word, like, obviously she says echo, Tara says echo, and then she says for immer, which I was like, that must mean forever, right? It does. In case you're wondering, like me, it's German for forever. Jenny, will you get me a shirt? You know when you start saying something and then you're like, I wish I'd never started saying it, but now I have to say it? Will you get me a shirt for Christmas that says Mommy's Favorite Puppy?
It's like when you call yourself the prodigal punk prince of darkness, but she calls you her favorite puppy.
Mommy's favorite puppy. Oh, God. Okay, so just to put a tab on the end of that last scene in the dungeon, Tara goes to eat the rest of Althania after she puts the fucking echo spell on Cordy. Drew does. Listen, let's just throw. I think Drusilla might get her jingle for every fucking episode. So let's play Drusilla's jingle.
Drusilla, you fill up my heart with dread, and still I'm led right back to you.
In this scene, she not only refers to Spike as Mommy's favorite puppy, but she also 100% believes that the biggest magic is found inside of cookies. And says as much to Indira, and I love this for all of us.
Yeah, this feels correct. One of her minions informs her that Ms. Bang is gone. Drew is in denial and says she won't allow it.
Yeah, also she really is convinced that Bang would never leave her, which is kind of sad.
I know. And also lends credence to your assumption.
Bang theory.
Yeah. The Big Bang.
The Big Bang. So they hear Althania screaming from the dungeon.
So they're all like, let's go check that out. Let's get closer to that.
What's happening down there? They see Cordy on repeat. Indira is immediately like, Cordelia. And then covers her tracks by saying, of course I know what the Slayer looks like. If I want to be the queen of black magic, yes. Then obviously.
Yes. And then, okay, Kristen, prepare your poker face. Because I need you to not spoil me with your little face, just in case I'm right about this.
Well, some of us are really good at poker faces, and others of us are not so good at poker faces.
Okay. Wait. Was that some kind of dig?
Yeah, you're horrible at a poker face. Every time I say anything about Mulder's bed, you're like fucking basically writing in lipstick on the camera like what the actual answer is.
Okay.
Jess's lipstick, of course. You would never own lipstick.
Yeah, I would never. okay, there's a character who is named Angry British Man in the script. And he is somewhere in the dungeon behind a door yelling angrily. And he is Chekhov's angry British man locked in the dungeon. Because here he is screaming and Spike's like, who's that? And Drew's like, don't worry about that guy. He's nothing to me, my king. And then like it comes up again later. And I'm like, that voice sounds an awful lot like James Marsters to me. Is there another Spike? Did Spike not really die in this reality? Or is there a Spike from yet another reality that she has already collected? Does she just have a whole bunch of Spikes in her dungeon? What's going on? Don't tell me. I want to be surprised, especially if this is just a random angry British man. And they all sound the same to me. I don't know.
It's actually, this all happened right before Eminem did his Slim Shady performance at the VMAs. And it actually was, they were not all Slim Shadys. They were just all Spikes.
No. No, Kristen.
Will the real William please stand up?
Pratt?
Thank you. Will the real William Pratt please stand up? Please stand up.
Okay.
Please stand up.
Okay. I don't know if I'm right. I really am like 50-50 on... That sounds like James Marsters, or I'm just like hearing what I want to hear.
It's interesting too. So let me ask you this. When you do your listen, are you reading the script at the same time always? Like, or do you just listen?
I do a no script listen first and then a script listen.
Did you notice Angry British Man on your first, on your listen without the script?
I did. Especially because they keep drawing my attention to
it. I know,
it.
They do. It's just like, I was like oblivious, but I guess that is who I am. So today's episode is brought to you by Regal Cinemas. If you're anything like me, you deeply enjoy going to the movies. Going to the movies is probably among my top three all-time activities. I love seeing films on the big screen. I also love being around other people who are watching the same movie with me at the same time. And of course, I love eating giant buckets of popcorn. If you feel the same and you like going to the theater, Regal Unlimited is something that just makes sense. Regal Unlimited is the all-you-can-watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two movie visits. You can see any standard 2D movie anytime, no blackout dates, no restrictions. When you want to watch a movie in 4DX or IMAX or RPX or ScreenX, there's so many ways to watch movies these days, your Regal Unlimited membership gets you into those premium experiences at a reduced cost. And with Regal Unlimited, you don't only save money on the tickets, you will also save on your snacks. And as previously mentioned, I love snacks. The only thing that can make me love a snack more is saving money on buying a snack. Members get 10% off of all non-alcoholic concession items with membership. Regal Unlimited, all you can watch movie subscription pass. It pays for itself in two visits. So if you're planning to see two movies this month, join Regal Unlimited and sign up now. You can sign up in the Regal app or on regmovies.com/unlimited. Sign up for Regal Unlimited using code BUFFERING and earn 10% off your 3-month subscription. Please let us know about all of the movies you see and how the popcorn is.
Hey, Kristen.
Oh, hey, Jenny.
You know how we're always obtaining new lotions and creams for our faces?
You know, I really do. We talk about skincare more than anyone probably has a right to know.
It's true. If you, like us, are tired of cycling through ineffective skincare trends and overcomplicated routines, then let us tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best. No complicated routine, no multiple-step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
And here's the deal. The reason that OneSkin is very different from anything else is because they use a proprietary OS1 peptide. If there was time, I would play the medical doctor jingle for myself just for saying that. It's the first ingredient that is proven to actually switch off the aging cells that cause the lines and the wrinkles and the thinning skin. And they have a bunch of studies to back this up. We've both received their products and just started using them, and they are awesome. I also love the fact that they come with refillable inserts. So you sort of get your plastic container one time, and then if you like the product and you keep going, they just send you the little packet that goes inside. So if you want to learn more about them, you should check them out at oneskin.co. They are the world's first skin longevity company. They focus on cellular aspects of aging and keep your skin looking and acting healthier for longer. Get started today with 15% off using code BUFFERING at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off at oneskin.co with code BUFFERING. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Yeah, I wonder if your theory is right.
So you're telling me that something's happening.
So, I mean, I think the script and the show are telling us that something is happening. We'll just have to find out what it is. All right. So Tara tells Drusilla that the sunlight spell worked. And Drusilla is like, Drusilla does not give a shit. Drusilla's like, too little too late. Snaps Althania's neck. R.I.P. Althania, but honestly, a better fate, I think, than what was in store for her.
I guess a quick finish is better than.
Yeah. Yeah. Drusilla says, we're going in a different direction to Tara, which.
That felt very like, we're actors. We're actors and we've heard this.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It felt like very businesslike in a horrible way to me. But yeah, I guess.
Yeah, it just felt like a very like industry insider kind of thing.
Tara is saying everything that she's trying every tactic. She's saying she sees no magic in Indira. She's wrong because Indira is a slayer. And from what we understand, slayers have some magic. But she's saying.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. She says Spike feels wrong. And Drew's like, shut up. Here's some magical manacles. Magicals. Manacle magicals. I listened to this with Avanthi because I listened in the car. And when Indira said that these two were hornier than Gray Sloan interns, Avanthi laughed harder than...
Oh, did you go, who? And Avanthi was like,
So she just laughed really hard and I was like, cool, because she loves Indira, because we all love Indira. And I was like, okay, I don't understand. I'll look up Grace Sloan interns later. And then I looked up Grace Sloan interns. And of course it's from Grey's Anatomy, but the Sloan threw me off.
But
I learned a couple of days ago, we were at a party. I don't like parties, just for what it's worth. I don't like being in rooms with multiple people that I know at all varying levels. It's very overwhelming for me. So I scuttled off to like play with a cat or go to the bathroom or like scuttled off. And then when I came back, Avanthi, who's like a fairly quiet person, was surrounded by a ring of queers talking about Grey's Anatomy, a show which she apparently knows so much about. So I learned that she loves the show. And then the next day she was laughing at a Grey's Anatomy joke and I still didn't understand it.
Wow. You guys need to get on the same page about this, I think.
We're trying, you know.
You know?
We're trying. Okay, so Indira puts Tara to sleep.
Yeah. This is some handy sort of, if you are pretending to be a witch and you're not a witch and someone wants you to do a go to sleep spell, you had best have a partner who is willing to distract the person who just asked you to do that with their tongue and other parts so that you can just bop the person who needs to go to sleep over the head.
Yeah. You better, what you're saying, Jenny, a shorter way, a more economical way of saying that is,
what?
You better have mommy's favorite puppy on hand.
Yeah. See, the thing is that I would never say anything about mommy's favorite puppy, unlike some people.
Okay. So Spike, they're going to lock Cordelia up. And Spike's reasoning for not, because, you know, Drusilla and Cordelia are saying the same thing about each other at varying points. Why have you not killed her yet? And Drusilla is like, why are we not killing her? She's right here. We can kill her right now. Spike's answer is fucking brilliant. And it's so brilliant that I'm like, why?
I too was like, how has no one thought of this before?
Lock the Slayer up. Keep her alive, but locked up, and you'll never get another Slayer.
What a great little loophole.
A perfect loophole. Like, I'm glad that there's a lot of Slayers now because, you know, I'm glad no one had this idea before multiple Slayers were activated in our universe.
Dude, right?
Because this seems like... This seems like the thing. This seems like what
you
do.
Seems like a very good idea.
It doesn't. Like, I'm not a villain, and you're not a villain, so we wouldn't have thought of it. But what are all the villains doing? Why didn't they think of this idea? It's genius.
Yeah.
Also, in addition to not ever saying mommy's favorite puppy, Jenny, I would imagine that you have never said run and rut in the woods a lot.
Listen, that is simply none of my business. Okay?
Drusilla and Spike,
rutting?
I'm sorry, it's like it's working.
Rutting?
It's rutting is not working for me, but Juliet Landau can sell anything. It's unbelievable how the woman simply sells you on like every fucking line, even
how
run and rut.
It? How does she do it?
You know, I don't know if I've already said this inside the pod, but when I was at Comic-Con with these guys, James was talking about Juliet like on stage and he said she is fearless in a way that I have never seen. Like, she is absolutely fearless when she comes to performance. She simply shows up, has no fear. And it like resonated so deeply with me because it is what comes out, I think, is just like this person will do anything that comes to her without worrying about like if it'll be wrong or if it might like, and that's what makes Drusilla and I think a lot of what Juliet does so unique, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where we learn that Jocelyn Cordelia will reset her. And, you know, Drusilla is like, please be very careful not to jostle her. And Spike like kicks her across the room.
Spike is immediately like, whoa! Bonk, 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 bonk. Ah,
sorry. Whoops.
Drusilla says, tickety-tock, tickety-tock. It's time to kill the Slayer. I'm going to be saying tickety-tock moving forward.
Perfect.
Spike and Drusilla are coming dangerously close to merging with one another, and Drew's like, let's go upstairs, and Indira is like, yes, God, please go, please, upstairs, thank you.
Yeah. So they do. They go upstairs to fuck or rut, depending on what you prefer.
Please, please don't say rut.
I'm sorry. It was given to me by the page. In the dungeon, Cordelia and Indira are left behind. And Indira says something about Drusilla, which I really love. She's telling Cordelia that she doesn't actually think Drusilla is crazy at all. She says, I think she's a brutal sadist with infantile obsessions who wears, quote, insanity like a Halloween mask.
How about that?
How about that? Just a really delightful, especially, I mean, you know, who knows what this Drusilla's history was. We got a lot of our Drusilla's history before this. But I do love this idea of Drusilla as someone who knows exactly what she's doing. Because she always seems to know exactly what she's doing. And I think, you know, anyone who falls outside of the grid of our common understanding is often labeled crazy. But when you really think about what's happening, oftentimes you'll find that is not actually it at all. And I love Indira's line here. And I love the way that it frames Drusilla.
Cordelia's got a question for Indira. And it's a fair one.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, why didn't you kill Drusilla just now? And Indira's like, oh, well, I was following Spike's lead. And then she's like, wait, was the Spike in your reality an actor? And Cordelia's like, I don't know why.
Cordelia was like, no, that was Angel. Angel was actually the number one actor.
He was the best actor. Faith was the second best actor, famously. And then maybe Spike was the third best. Maybe. We never got into it. So Indira's like, I think it might be possible, maybe, that he's having second thoughts.
Yeah, it's confusing because, like, the fact that he jostles Cordelia, throwing her into the cell, would lead one to think that he's still on plan, but he's doing things that are clearly... He's not being very clear about his intentions with Indira, and Indira is his teammate. So she has reason to, I think, have some doubt.
Yeah, and she's also like, he's busted up over Buffy still, maybe, and Drew is, like, more put together in this reality, I guess, and, like, powerful. And then the kicker, he gave her the gem of Amara, like, immediately. To me, that just feels like... I feel like there's plenty of plausible deniability.
Yeah.
And actually, I feel like the script is telling us at least 50% that, like, there's no, this is hogwash and there's nothing to worry about. I'm interested to see where the Gem of Amara thing goes. I think, especially because later he's like, always keep that on you. Like, it just feels like something is fake.
Yeah, or
it feels like there's some kind of trick going on.
Or, like, because at the end of this episode, when he tells Drusilla, that is a big moment of, like, keep this in your pocket at all times. And I wonder if I am actually a natural talent at still imagining and wondering, even when I know. but I wonder if he wants her to keep the gem. Like, it feels like if I were Indira or if I were Cordelia, my first guess, knowing Spike, would not necessarily be, oh, Spike is maybe evil again, but rather Spike for sure wants to fuck alternate reality Drusilla. Come on.
I mean, that does seem to be at the top of his list.
Top of his list. And, like, you can't blame the guy. I mean, who gets a chance to have sex with the alternate reality version of someone that they were absolutely soulmates with for dozens of years, like hundreds of years? And the fact that he tells Drew, because we know that the spell that Indira does is not working. Indira's, like, egging Spike on to be like, say you're hot too. Convince her. So the fact that Spike tells Drusilla to keep the Gem of Amara on her, to me, felt like, even though Spike probably is not, like, fucking everything up, that, like, maybe he does want to sleep with Drusilla. He fucking loves Drusilla. Like, you can't undo that. And maybe he doesn't want Drusilla to die. Because if she goes in the sun, she's going to be dusted. But if she has the Gem of Amara, she won't be.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You're so smart.
Thanks. And I genuinely, that's just what I put together by erasing episodes 8 and 9 out of my head. So.
Yeah.
Indira basically sorts in this conversation too, or I guess Cordelia figures it out, that Spike wouldn't out Indira as a fake witch either way, because if he tells Drusilla she's a fake witch, then Drusilla will doubt Spike. And Cordy's like, listen, get up there, fake the spell, get the grimoire, and let's get the fuck out of here.
Upstairs, things are getting none of our business.
Deeply none of our business.
Things are getting A, hot, B, heavy, C, moist.
No!
D, all of the above.
Moist. Get out of here. We opened with the none of your business clip because actually I guess now it is your business and you have to deal with it just like we do.
Well, and you know what? I celebrate this. This actually does feel like a little bit of my business.
It does. It does. Honestly, out of all the sexy times that we've had inside of the show, I have to say that I am into this the most. And I also think that this supports my theory because the lines that they have here, Spike saying in the clip we played, never could resist you, feels very true.
It does.
The sound effects in... Let me just give you all the gift of the sound effects cues in this scene. Not all of them, but a lot of them. Drusilla kisses him fiercely, humming a little happy and horny.
Wow.
Sound effects, another kiss.
Now, the other side of the hungry and horny Slayer coin.
Happy and
humming and hungry. Happy and horny.
Sound effects, another kiss. Sound effects. She slams him against the wall again. More kissing. Spike growls. Sound effects, more fun noises.
Mm. Okay, Spike is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hang on. I was dead. And we need to like learn each other all over again. And Drusilla says, don't worry. I haven't forgotten anything you like.
This would be very, I would be really nervous if I was in this situation because like.
Right. Because like, what if your alternate reality, what if, yeah.
But you have to pretend you like it. But then what if you like, it just, I would be in my head. It would not be a good time for me. Once Drusilla said that she remembered what I liked, but I wasn't that me. Forget it. It's over.
Okay. At the magic box, Jenny Owen Youngs calls out to Kristen Russo, second best friend.
I think about it every time that Clem calls Giles second best friend. I also think about it.
Oh, good.
The explosion.
Okay, so omniscient Giles is once again in effect. The explosion blew out the windows, but there's no structural damage. I guess he means visual structural damage.
I guess. But, yeah.
I like that they go in and Clem is immediately like, I smell dog.
Clem has such a complicated relationship to John Jaska. It's like, I don't even know what his feelings are about Anya, but we know that Anyanka and Clem have a very complicated history. And then we know that like Jasper is Clem's good boy, goodest boy.
Yep.
So there's just like a lot of emotions contained there for him.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's a lot of emotions contained there for us and also everyone in the pileup.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Jasper, honestly, is probably just like, yay! Because dogs want to just be involved.
Dogs want to be as close to you as possible, so if merging with you was possible, they probably would be down.
Oh my god, I'm so glad that I could never merge with Frank. I need my space.
Okay, so Anyanka explains that since she has not had human feelings, she can't actually enjoy human pain.
This is an interesting little turn. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to see where this goes, and I have a guess that I'll get to at the end of the episode.
You have a little crystal ball of your own over there?
I do. Jenny's crystal ball is in full effect. Spike is in the dungeon. Some other version of Spike is in the dungeon. And something else to be revealed shortly.
Great. I want to read. There's this exchange between Anya and Anyanka about why Anya split. Why this Anya split from Anyanka. Anya says, I don't want you, Anyanka, as a part of me. I split from the demon who possessed me in this world a long time ago. I've put all the hatred and the thirst for vengeance behind me. Anyanka says, but how can you do that when men are so despicable? And Anya answers, yes, there are many despicable men, but if you wallow in the rage and resentment they cause, that's all you can see. This feels in a show created by Amber Benson, starring Charisma Carpenter and Emma Caulfield, to be very pointedly stating something. And I am hearing it, and I celebrate it for all of them.
Yes, message received.
Yeah.
As this is all being discussed, you know, Clem tries to soothe Jasper by saying, sometimes mommies fight, but it doesn't mean they don't love each other. And then this happens.
Anya, Anyanka, focus. Between the two of you, you must know some way to undo this strange conjunction.
She's not going to help. She wants to be merged like this.
Not like this. Not with the puppy. The puppy ruins everything.
Shh, shh.
I don't know if I love anything more than I love Anyanka hating Jasper. It's so funny to me. It is my favorite thing in the episode. I just delight in it.
Look, sometimes you want to merge with someone, but they also have a dog that has a presence that maybe is like beyond, like too much. You might not be comfortable with it. They might like to watch or something while you're merging, or they might want to merge with you, and that's certainly not welcome here.
Oh God, I think we're fired.
Are we?
I don't know. It feels like maybe we should be. Write to us at hello@bufferingcast.com if you think we should be fired.
Tell us if we're fired or not.
We'll tally up the votes and let you know what happens.
Yeah. Okay, Giles is like, focus, focus, focus. We need to like separate you three first and foremost. We need to get everyone back in their zones. And Anya is like, I can't promise that I'll merge with you, but I promise to think about it.
Mm-hmm. Which feels fair.
And then Anya's like, okay, Giles, Clem can help us, but you need to go figure out why Tara took the descent of Andre Kurgan. Please. And thank you.
Giles being like, I forgot about this book, and Anya just dragging him. Like, Anya is here on behalf of us. In what fucking universe would Giles not have fucking thought of this book? Get out of here, sir.
In the universe where he's been retired for many years from the business of, apocalypse, etc.
Do you think that Olivia misses him, or she's just like, fine?
She's just like, donuts.
Yeah, she's like, actually, the donuts are great. So Giles is going to go back to his reality for one quick rut with Olivia plus getting the book.
Stop it! Chris, okay, you're fired. I still work here. Back down in Drusilla's dungeon, Tara wakes up and Cordelia's like, hello.
Cordelia's really Tara's enjoying like, this turn of events.
Yeah. She's like, well, didn't know you'd be in this cell. And Tara's like, oh, let's cut a deal. We want the same thing. Oh, you want to free those people from their cells? Well, free me and I can help you. La, 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 la.
Cordy's too smart for all this kinds shit. Of stuff. Cordy
no,
knows
Cordelia's
better.
Like, go suck an egg. Mm-hmm. And eventually Cordelia fucks off. But don't worry, because someone is in the vents.
Is that what you tell? I was going to say, you must be practiced in what sound a monkey makes since you have an almost one-year-old.
I am super practiced, and especially because he really responds particularly to that. He loves when you go, hoo, 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 and then you open your mouth like you're going to go, ah, but you don't say anything. He thinks that's the funniest thing he's ever seen.
Incredible. Oh, I'm so glad we didn't forget our segment. What is your son doing?
Oh, have we been doing that every episode?
No, we just did it last episode. I believe he was eating a tomato.
Oh, yeah. What a cool guy. Okay.
Yeah. So sometimes your son laughs real hard when you do the ooh, 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 but not the ah, ah, ah of a monkey.
That's right.
He probably would not find Mr. Pickles very funny. Mr. Pickles is demanacling Tara / Kurgan. This is, again, where I think Kurgan is funny. He calls Mr. Pickles a furry little bastard.
Yeah.
Okay. Sing me a song just like the dawn chorus. I want to hear all the little birdies chirping, says Drusilla in her lair.
Who among us has not said this to someone?
This is the scene where Indira does the sunlight spell. Honestly, I was nervous. Like, I was like, listen, Giles said so long ago, never speak Latin in front of the books. And yeah. I feel like what
no
is
no one listened.
Who is to say that Indira reading this fucking spell won't work? I mean, it doesn't.
Yeah,
but
especially because she has Slayer magic.
Yeah. I mean, Xander had no magic to speak of, and he still set the book on fire, you know?
It's true.
Anyway, Indira does the fake spell, and luckily Drusilla on her own is like, I sure am feeling hot. Spike just sort of, you know, coaxes that in the right direction. And they believe that they are, well, Drusilla believes that they are invincible.
Thank God that Drusilla is convincible.
Yeah, I think she's just so excited. I love her plan. She was the first thing Drusilla wants to do in the sunlight is to go to the park and kill some mummies and daddies, but then take the orphans and sire them. She's really pulling Interview with the Vampire shit right here.
Oh,
you know what
yeah.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
She's like, where is my Claudia? I would like a Claudia sure. and a Claude. In equal measure. I would like to have many children. And Spike's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Nobody mentioned kids, Drew. but she's just too excited. I think she's just, maybe the thing about Drusilla is that she's very excitable. She's very intelligent, but she's very excitable. And this is something she's very excited about. So she's not really crossing her T's and dotting her I's on this one.
Totally. And also just being near Spike probably makes her feel warmer.
Yeah. Oh.
Okay, so everything seems to be going great when Indira's doing the last little bit of the spell. But uh-oh, Cordelia busts in. There's a fight. Spike takes a stake to the back. Cordelia steals, in quotes, Indira. Gem of Amara is notably left behind. Spike is like, Drew, always keep the Gem of Amara on you as a reminder of our dream. And Spike also says, I think the kid has powers she never even knew existed. Interesting. That feels interesting to me. That feels meaningful. I have my eye on Indira for powers beyond Slayerhood.
Yeah, especially because of this reality shit. It's like, we know that Anya...
Oh, yeah.
Like, we know when alternate reality Anya went to current reality that her magic got all wonky and, like, things were really loopy and wild and what have you. So, like, obviously there's
Slayers
some
have a kind of magic infused directly into them.
Yeah. So, like, perhaps... Perhaps. I also just want to keep a tally. Cordelia has knocked Indira out. Indira has knocked Tara out.
Giles got knocked out by something.
Of course. Classic. But yeah, she has. So at the end of this, she has the grimoire and she has Indira.
Uh-oh. Here's Tara and also Mr. Pickles. Busting in on Spike and Drew. She's like, listen, Indira couldn't have done the spell without my notes and also my brain. I can't even do the spell now that we don't have the grimoire. And then she says something that really set off a bunch of flags into the air for me, which is, if Anya gets the grimoire, Anya will be able to undo any spell cast from its pages. There's a whole thing with touching the grimoire, making you evil and all of this stuff, but maybe if you are already merged with a demon, you can't be negatively impacted by the book. Therefore, I predict that this will be directly responsible for Anya and Anyanka merging. This is what I think is coming.
Got it.
How am I doing? Don't you're tell doing, me.
You're doing great. I had a question. It's only a witch, right? It's like because the Slayers can touch the grimoire and they're okay. It's just a witch that can't touch the grimoire?
Right.
Okay.
I just wanted to make sure.
I think.
As far as I could tell from listening.
I think
right.
So vampires can't touch it.
Right. If a witch casts something from it,
that's what it is.
Oh, so maybe I'm... Okay. So maybe... Right. Maybe in order to interact with the spells in the grimoire, Anya needs to maybe... She'll need to bolster her fortitude in some way, her mystical fortitude.
Right. Well, Jenny, I guess we'll just have to wait and see.
I'll be over in 4 hours to jostle you.
That is what she said.
Goodness.
Jenny, I actually was doing a segue to the sound effects, favorite sound effects, because my favorite use of sound in this episode is the repetition of Cordelia. And I think
so great.
Yeah. And like we have the scripts, which is very fun. And I thought something that's very fun to see a little bit of behind the scenes is that there was a lot more of Cordelia repetition in the script than was actually used in the episode. And I just thought, I don't know, like as somebody who produces things, it's very fun to see behind that curtain a little bit. Like they probably had it in and then on one listen, they were like, it's a little too distracting to have it in all the scenes. So they like, you know, massaged it so that it would be right amount. I think that's very fun and cool. So that's my pick.
I love it. I'm going to go with Anyanka saying, I agree with Clement.
Yeah, that was good.
I liked it. Speaking of liking things, nice, benign, almost neutral. Let us take the dank, dark staircase down into the dungeon of the Sexual Tension Awards.
I can't believe you can say that and I can't say rut.
Sexual Tension Award.
Well, in slot number one, listen, we've got three full slots today. And we'd love for you to consider the noms within each and vote with your heart and groin.
And Jennifer!
Anything else that, you know, works for you. In slot number one.
Be careful of splinters.
I think it's, you know, it would be hard to argue that this wasn't the spiciest thing going on throughout the episode. They're busting up furniture. They're remembering what the other likes. They are biting and bleeding. They are Spike and Drew.
Wow, wow, wow.
In slot number two. Sometimes the gravitational pull between two people is only magnified when there is an obstacle that they must figure out how to overcome in order to be together. Mm-hmm. And it's with that in mind that I submit in slot number two, Anyanka and Anya without the puppy who ruins everything. And in slot number three, the neutrality vote, the why can't you leave me alone with the Sexual Tension Awards vote. She just wants to do her job and have a little peace. It's Indira and it being none of Indira's business. If you want to cast your vote in our Sexual Tension Awards, please find your way over to bufferingcast.com/STA, which will take you to our STA poll, and you can vote with your little heart and other parts already mentioned. And, you know, it means a lot to us to have everybody participate, so come on down.
I almost just said, well, Jenny, what's the status of this X-File?
I wish I could tell you, Kristen.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we have two episodes left to go. Jenny, you've got some predictions on the board. I'm excited to journey through the answers or non-answer. I mean, you know, nothing says we're going to get answers to those predictions. But I'm excited to get into episode 8 with you.
I can't wait to find out what happens. But I'm going to have to. I have to wait.
That's true.
While I'm waiting, I will be Jenny Owen Youngs. And hey, when I'm not making podcasts with Kristen, I am usually making music. In fact, this very night, the night that this podcast episode goes up, I will be playing my annual holiday live stream concert, Tidings of Comfort and J-O-Y.
Oh, hell yeah.
It is a fun time. There is songs. There is merriment. There is Frank. Please join me if you dare. You can find tickets and info over at JennyOwenYoungs.com in the tour section. You can also find me on social media at Jenny Owen Youngs.
I am Kristen Russo, a.k.a. King Consort. And when I am not talking about Buffy or the X-Files or Yellow Jackets, I'm often working with LGBTQ communities. You can learn more about my work on my website, kristinnoline.com, KristinNoeline. You can use that to follow me on socials. And today, this very day, I will be getting my hair cut in Brooklyn. So,
wow.
I just looked at
deliberately scheduling conflicts. Interesting. I mean,
my haircut is at 11 a.m. So there's no reason why.
Plenty of time.
Plenty of time.
Perfect.
But I just looked at my calendar to make sure you were right about that when this episode goes up. And I was like, look at that. Kristen Russo doesn't have a concert. Kristen Russo has a haircut.
Buffering the Vampire Slayer is on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at BufferingCast. You can email us at hello@BufferingCast.com.
And you should. If you wanted to, you could also support us. We have a very active Patreon, patreon.com/BufferingCast. We are now deep into Want Take Winter, the winter theme over in Patreon land, where we are five-by-fiving all over the place. We are watching Faith episodes. We are just, it's just a Lehane state of mind over there, you know?
Wow, it truly is. I mean, 'tis the season.
Whatever that fucking means.
This episode was produced by Kristen Russo, Jenny Owen Youngs, and Latoya Ferguson with support from our consultant, Mackenzie McDade. It was edited by John Mark Nelson. And till next time.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of Supernatural Horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course. What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.